As we come through the Word of God, let's again pray and ask for the Lord's blessing upon this time of instruction. Lord, when we come to your Word, we're mindful that we are weak in and of ourselves, and yet, Lord, in the power of your Spirit, we are able to have understanding of your Word. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us your truth. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given it to us so that it would make a difference in our lives. And we pray this morning that as your word is proclaimed, that you would open our hearts to receive your truth. And to pray, Lord, that you would also enable me in a very clear way to be able to bring your word to your people. And we ask it in the name of our Savior, who loved us and who gave himself for us. Amen.
Amen.
I am returning this morning to a series that I began a long, long time ago. I don't know how long ago it is. It's probably 5 years or more. A series on the book of Proverbs. And I'm coming this morning to bring another installment in that series, and more appropriately this morning to study Proverbs 31, which is that passage of Scripture which is the description of the worthy or the excellent woman. I'm not going to read. I should have thought about this earlier. I could have had Pastor Amos read the whole chapter, but I don't want to read the whole chapter for time's sake this morning. But we're really going to break right in and begin to speak about this excellent woman of Proverbs 31. I'd ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 31. The section that we're going to be looking at begins in verse 10 and goes all the way down to the end of the chapter. We're introduced in the first verse, in verse 10, to the excellent wife. And it says that an excellent wife, who can find? Her worth is far above jewels. In being introduced to this excellent woman, we're reminded immediately that this excellent woman is worth more than jewels. Now, when you think about jewels, you think about two or three maybe different things. First, you think about jewels being of great value. Secondly, you think about jewels as something that ought to be viewed and admired. You look at it and you say, wow, that is really beautiful. And it often calls for a response from us when we look at a beautiful piece of jewelry. But these are the things that come to our mind as we think about an excellent wife whose value is greater than jewels. She is something of great value, and she is something that's worthy to be looked at and admired and give praise to God for, if she is that worthy woman. But we're immediately confronted with the reality that this woman is a very rare woman. Right there in the first verse, in verse 10, it says, an excellent wife, who can find? There's not many of them. There's many women out there. There's many wives out there. But the excellent wife, who can find? It's rare indeed if you can find a woman who is this excellent wife. And so this is the introduction that we have to this woman. She's rare. And if she is this excellent woman, she is worthy to be valued and admired for the graces that God has given to her. Well, what I'd like to do this morning is I would like to look at five particular things that are going to be drawn from various places in this chapter, five particular things that mark this excellent woman, and where you can say, this is what this excellent woman is made up of. and something that you can sink your fingers into, and you can say, this is what she is. And if you're a woman here, you can say, this is what I ought to be as an excellent wife. And so the five things that I would like to consider this morning are, number one, her excellent character. Number two, her husband's biggest supporter. Number three, her conscientious care of her household. Number four, her shrewd business sense. And number five, her worthiness to be praised. So those are the five things that we want to consider this morning. Now, I want to make two comments before we come to study this excellent woman. And the first comment is this. Just because you're not a wife, it doesn't mean that there's not something here for you. And as I was studying this and preparing this, there were so many things that were a rebuke to me as a man, in just in the way that this woman's character is developed and the things about her. And so if you're a woman, there may be a day that you'll be a wife. And so it's valuable to you. If you're a young man, it's valuable to you. But the second thing that I want to say in regards to this is that the woman of Proverbs 31 is found in a context of a God-ordained marriage. And that's the context that we see this woman described in. Now, obviously, we live in a fallen world. And marriages aren't everything that we would hope that they would be. Many times there are divorces. There are women that are sitting here that have been divorced and they're now alone in their lives. And so the things about this woman need to be applied in a different type of a situation. It doesn't mean these things become irrelevant. But they're certainly relevant in the fact that she needs to be these kinds of things, even in the life that she maintains, even without a husband with her. And so I want to say those kind of things. We're not preaching about what the world sees as the proper family. We're talking about a biblical family that God has instituted and God has decreed what it ought to be, a man and a woman in marriage for life. That's the picture that we see in here, and that's where we're going to be coming from as we discuss this excellent woman. And so then this morning, let's take up in the first place her excellent character. And there are three things that I want to speak about with regard to her excellent character. And the first thing is that she is trustworthy. Look at verse 11. And we'll read verse 10. An excellent wife who can find? Her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. The heart of her husband trusts in her. How important it is to have trust in the one that you're going to marry. You're going to be able to trust them with all of your earthly goods. You're going to be trusting the person that you marry with your life. You're going to be committing yourself to that person, and you're going to be trusting them to be careful with you and with what you have committed to them. Now, as a husband needs a trustworthy wife because of the fact that he has a household that we are confronted with in Proverbs 31. He's got children that need to be cared for. He's got a household that needs to be ordered. And is this woman competent to do the things that are going to be entrusted to her care? The husband oftentimes has to leave the home for many hours throughout the day to go and take care of earthly concerns and earn a living for the family. And so he's gone from the household. And the wife is going to be responsible to raise the children in many ways, to make sure that they're eating properly, to make sure that they're taking care of their schoolwork, to make sure that their clothes are clean. All of these various things need to be cared for, and the husband, as he leaves his home, wants to be able to say, I know my wife, and I know that she is going to care for the things concerning our home and our children. What a valuable thing this is for a husband to know that his wife is trustworthy and that he can leave all things that he has concern of in her care. The other thing that you think about when you think about trustworthiness is that one day she's not just going to decide, well, I think it's time for me to leave, but I'm committed to this for life. The Lord has given me you as a husband, and I am committing myself to you. I'm committing myself to my children, and I am going to be here for the duration. Isn't this something that's important about trustworthiness, knowing that there's going to be a staying value? What an important thing it is to have in a wife is for her is to be trustworthy. There's one verse in this entire chapter that refers to the husbands. And that verse is verse 23. It says that her husband is known in the gates when he sits amongst the elders of the land. And this seems to indicate that the husband is sitting at a place of oversight in the community or in the land. He's sitting amongst the elders in the gates, and he is in a place where people look up to him. He's a man that has dignity. But the reality is he can only be in this place because he has a wife who is trustworthy in the home to be caring for those things. And now this man has an opportunity to expand the sphere of his influence because of the fact that he has a trustworthy wife. And so that's the first excellent character that we see in a wife, is that she is trustworthy. So much more could be said about so many of these things, but there is so much to accomplish this morning that we're going to just have to move rather quickly through all of these things. The second thing we want to look at is that she is a woman of strength. She's a woman of strength. Verse 17a, and it says that she girds herself with strength and she makes her arms strong. Now, this picture of girding, many of you are aware of that. You know that when a race is being run, when somebody girds themselves, they take their robes that are around them or hanging down their legs, and they fold them up and they tuck them into their belt so that it gives them freedom and liberty to be able to run in a race. And it says here that she girds herself with strength. And so here I think what we see is we see a picture of a woman who is willing to do what's necessary, i.e. like rolling up her sleeves to accomplish the work that she's been given to do. We're talking in this area about physical strength, aren't we? We're talking about girding up things so that she can make herself able to do the work that has been given her to do. We see that she is somebody who has stick-to-itiveness. She perseveres in accomplishing her tasks. She doesn't leave everything half done, but she is using the strength that God has given her to do the work that God has given her to do. The second half of this verse 17, it says, and makes her arms strong. The first half of the verse, we see like the physical strength is being described. But the second half of the verse, we see more of physical preparation for the work. She makes her arms strong. She keeps herself physically fit so that she can do her work. She makes sure that she eats properly. She gets the proper rest and necessary sleep and exercise. All these things she does so that she can make herself ready to do the work that she has to do. Now, I'm not talking about a woman making herself into a bodybuilder. Obviously, I'm not talking about that. But caring for herself and helping herself to be prepared to do the physical work that is going to be required of her. But there's another aspect of strength that we see in this passage, and it's seen for us over in verse 25. And here we see a different type of strength. It says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. I don't think that the writer is coming back and talking about physical strength once again, but I think what's being spoken about here is strength of character. This woman is a strong character because it says here, strength and dignity are her clothing. And so what are we to understand when the writer says that strength and dignity are her clothing? And as I meditated and thought on it, I came up with four things, and you may come up with more things than that, but I came up with four things which I felt are necessary when we think of terms like strength and dignity are her clothing. In the first place, I thought of honesty and integrity. Honesty and integrity mark her dealings with people, her dealings with her family, as we're going to see in her dealings with those who are around her, dealings even with businessmen who this woman has dealings with. And so here is a woman who is strong in character. She's an honest woman. She's a woman of integrity when she deals with people. But secondly, when I think about a woman who is strong in character, is that she is not moved from her God-given convictions. She is strong, and she's going to stand on the truth of God's word, come what may. And she is not going to be moved when people say, you know, you really ought to do things this way in your home. You really ought to raise your children like this. You really ought to be treating your husband like this. And she says, no, no, the truth of God's word is plain, and that is where I'm going to stand. In the third place, when we think particularly of the word dignity is her clothing, we think she's not a buffoon, but rather she is one to be respected. You see, many giddy women in this world, our world is filled with them. And women, you don't want to be like that. We can see this type of giddiness as we look at the stars of our world. And all these who, women say, oh boy, I wish I could be like her. And why would you want to be like that when many, many times those women are unprincipled and they're buffoons in many ways? But this woman is a woman of dignity. She is one who is worthy to be respected. She's no buffoon. But then fourthly, and finally, we find right in the text of verse 25, strength and dignity are in clothing, and she smiles at the future. She smiles at the future. What does that tell us about this woman? It tells us that she's a woman of great faith. She doesn't look at the future and she's running, oh man, what are we going to do? I don't know if my husband's going to make enough money this week. My children seem to be going the wrong way. Many things can come and creep in to the woman's mind when she thinks about her home and her household and her children and her husband and where they stand in the world. But this woman is no fretter. She is a woman of great faith. Uncertainty doesn't rock her because she knows that her household and herself and her husband are in the purposes of the Lord. And he is going to bring to pass whatever he desires into their lives. And so this woman is a woman of great faith. She looks at the future and she smiles because she knows that her ways are in the hands of the Lord. And women, are you like that? Are you like that with your husband? Are you one that's always a naysayer, always discouraging, always disappointed? Or are you one who can smile, thinking about the fact that the future is in the hands of the Lord and we are to be content in the circumstances that we find ourselves? So we see these two points of the strength of this godly woman. She's physically a woman of strength. And secondly, she's a woman of strong character. Now, obviously, when we talk about strength, especially physically, we're talking about what God enables us to be. Because there are some women who are crippled. There are some women who can't do the work that they would desire to do because God has not enabled them to be able to be that kind of a woman. You think of Johnny Erickson Tata. She's a mom and a wife. And yet, what can she do? But what we have to look at is what has God given you the ability to do? And will you cultivate that to make it everything that it ought to be so that you would be that kind of a woman before the Lord? And so that's our second point. She's a woman of strength. Now, thirdly, she's a woman of sanctified speech. Look at verse 26. Verse 26, it says, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She's a woman of sanctified speech. I want you to turn over with me just briefly to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, right in the beginning of the chapter. Solomon is talking about the person who diligently pursues wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And I want to read verses 4-6. And it says, if you seek her, and that's wisdom, as silver, and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. When we look at this passage of scripture, we see two things about a person who is in pursuit of wisdom, because we're reminded that this is a woman who it says in verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. There's two things we see in this passage about such a person who is pursuing wisdom. The first thing we see is that she's familiar with scripture. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, you will discern the fear of the Lord. Where do we come to have understanding? We come to have understanding from the Word of God. That's where it comes from, and that's where we need to seek it. And so here is a woman who is seeking to know the scriptures. And we see that's where she finds herself studying. But the second thing we see that is she's a woman who knows the God of the scriptures. It says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And so these two things, we find this sanctified woman's speech to be rooted in her knowledge and her delight and familiarity with the scripture, and her nearness to her God, who is the one who teaches her the truth. And so, when we read verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom, we understand that when an opportunity comes for this woman to have a chance to help one of her children, to apply truth to everyday life, she is there and she's ready to do it because she understands the scriptures. And when her children have a question, she can say, yes, let's look at the scriptures, what they say about that. And she's able to bring wisdom and understanding to the to those who come and speak to her. Instruction and the ability to be able to direct your children is a very important thing for a woman to be able to do. It's a value for a husband to know that his children are in the care of a woman who has wisdom and understanding from the scriptures. He can leave his home and know that things are going to be ordered in such a way that will bring him joy. But the other thing that we think about this woman, she's not only in her home speaking wisdom, but also she could be considered to be the worthy woman of Titus 2, who is teaching younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to take care of their home. She is able to speak to them and to be encouraging to them and to strengthen them. We also see the value of a Christian wife to her husband. A Christian wife can be a valuable counselor. And if you're a husband in this place and you don't think that your wife can be of any value to you, then I would say that you ought to think again. I just living for 40 years with my wife, she has been such a valuable counselor to me because she sees things from a different perspective than I see things from. And she has understanding of certain ways that people do things that sometimes I just completely miss them. And it is so valuable to have that counsel from a wife whose knowledge of the scriptures can bring you back and to help you. This woman that's being spoken about here is not a mindless little wallflower that you want to pat on the head. No, this woman is a woman of integrity, and she is a woman of truth and righteousness and a very, very valuable asset to any man and to her family. And men, bless God if you have such a wife who is able to help you in a way that a good wife can, with sanctified speech as she opens up her mouth in wisdom. But there's another aspect of this wisdom, or this another aspect of the sanctified speech that the passage also speaks about. And it says in the second half of verse 26, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And so this speaks about the manner and the substance of her speech. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And I think we have to recognize that this is manner and substance when the teaching of kindness is spoken about. When she speaks with kindness. It's the predominant characteristic of what comes out of her mouth, the teaching of kindness. Whether she is giving instruction to her children, whether she is sharing with another woman, whether she is interacting with her husband, even if she's correcting her children, the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And so this is the predominant characteristic of her speech, that it is speech that is with kindness. And this was one of the things that really struck me and convicted me when I was preparing this, how so often our speech can be harsh. We can say things in such a way that is not beneficial at all. And especially when it comes to correcting our children, if we do it in a manner where we show forth that we are angry because in some way we have been hurt, then we're not doing anything profitable for our children. But when they can see that out of love and out of kindness, we are seeking to move them in a certain direction, it certainly has a much greater effect upon them. But also we see that the instruction about kindness is on her lips. Not only is she one who speaks with kindness, but the instruction about kindness is on her lips. I was thinking of Ephesians chapter 4, and at the end of the chapter there, verses 29 and following, it says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you." And so this is the type of teaching that is on the lips of this woman: instruction about right speech, instruction about encouraging speech, speech which is going to draw out obedience, speech which is going to draw out love from those whom the speech is going to. And so the sanctified speech of a woman is a great blessing, and it can be a great anchor for a woman. And if she is not a woman who is a woman of kind speech, a woman who speaks the truth about speech, she can be such a detriment to the Christian faith. And so we need to ask ourselves, what kind of speech marks us in our dealings with one another, our dealings with our families, our dealings with our children? What kind of things mark our speech? And we find that this is a woman who has sanctified speech, in that she's a woman of wisdom and a woman who speaks kindness to those around her. And so these are our first point. She is trustworthy, she is strong, and she has sanctified speech. But now in the second place, her husband is her biggest supporter. I didn't say that right. She is her husband's biggest supporter. And let's look at verse 12 once again. She is her husband's biggest supporter. It says she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. I sat in my chair when I was at my desk, and I sat downstairs on the couch, and I put my head back, and I was thinking, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. What does that look like? What does that look like in the life of a woman? And I came up with 8 things that I just want to mention to you, and I hope that these things will be helpful. I have 3 things that are negative, and I have 5 things that are positive. One of the negatives could be almost construed as a positive, but I have it down as 3 negatives and 1 positive. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. What does that mean in everyday life? And in the first place, I say that she doesn't undermine her husband's legitimate authority. She doesn't undermine her husband's legitimate authority. She doesn't publicly humiliate him. She supports her husband in front of her children. There's a time and there's a place to talk to your husband if you think that he should approach things differently, if you think that you should have different rules with your children. You take the opportunity when you're alone to speak with him and to seek to encourage him. And wives, many times you need to do that, and you ought to do that to help your husbands to be thinking a little bit more clearly. But a wife does not publicly humiliate her husband by undercutting his authority in front of other people. Secondly, she doesn't belittle him publicly or privately. And this is something that I have seen in my life, and I've seen women who mock their husbands. Sometimes they do it in a very offhanded way and kind of like, I'm really not doing that, but really that's what's happening. She's mocking her husband. And it can be very painful to watch a woman who does that, mocking her husband publicly. But there's other women who will sit across the table from a woman or other women, and when they're just having coffee, and they're going to talk bad about their husbands to those kinds of women. And there's discussions which go on, which undermine the integrity of their wives. And this just ought not to be. And this is very painful for husbands. I've seen husbands sitting there listening to their wives, and I cringe for them. I can't imagine what it is that they're even thinking. But it ought never to be that a woman would belittle or her husband either publicly or privately. Every one of us men have many weaknesses, plenty weaknesses that could be spoken about. But exposing them publicly by your wife is not in any way helpful. Those things can be very helpful if you're being spoken to by your wife in private, and she comes alongside of you and she seeks to help you and says, this is not very beneficial, the way that you did this or the way that you did that. But doing it in a very public way can never be helpful. But believe me, there is enough weakness to go around in all the husbands that are in this place. And so that's the second negative. And then the third negative, and this is the one that could be a positive either, is that she'll never give up on him. Her commitment to him is for life, as I said before. And whether or not it's difficult or whether it's easy, her commitment is to him for life. No doubt there's going to be many frustrations through a life and a marriage. There's going to be many times to forgive, as we're reminded that we are told to forgive 70 times 7, and that's not nearly enough times. Most all of us need to repent and confess our sins many more times than that. But this faithful woman will never give up on her husband. And then I have five positive things which I thought about when I think about the fact that she does him good and not evil all her days. She does it by sacrificially caring for him. Sacrificially caring for him. And I thought of Philippians 2. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture where we're told as the people of God to consider one another as more important than ourselves. And then the example of the Lord Jesus Christ is set before us, who did not account his desires more important than those of those he loved, and gave up himself for us. And so she sacrificially cares for her husband by looking out for his interests and not always just looking out for her own interest. And then secondly, in contradiction to the what we saw, where we saw that she doesn't belittle him publicly or privately, but rather she speaks well of him to others. She finds something good to say, or she says nothing at all. But she speaks well of him to others whenever she can. Yes, my husband does that very well, or whatever it is that you want to say. but she finds something good to say about him, or she says nothing at all. Here's another one. She defends her husband's good name. And I think she's able to do this because of the fact that she trusts him. She's known him. He's been committed to her. She loves him. And so when somebody undermines his good name and says something against him, she is not so quick to jump over and take the side of that person. But she'll say, no, that's not my husband. My husband wouldn't do a thing of that. She'll defend her husband up until the point where she knows that he did what was wrong. But at least on the upfront, she's going to defend her husband's good name, knowing that he is, for the most part, a trustworthy man. Another area, another way that she does him good and not evil all her days, is that she encourages him and supports him in his good causes. And I was thinking particularly here, and this is what came into my mind anyway, is the role that a pastor's wife or a deacon's wife plays in the life of a deacon or a pastor. She supports him in his good causes. In many ways, you have to see that as a couple being a team, as a deacon and a pastor. Not a team in every respect, but the wife has to know, my husband is an elder. My husband is a deacon, and I'm going to support that. I'm going to sacrifice for that because I know this is what the Lord has called me to do. Basically, the idea that his work is my work, and I'm going to put myself to that task. And so she encourages him in all of his good causes. And that could have application in many different areas. But that was just something that came into my mind. But fifthly, she considers his happiness and his well-being. And again, we can look at Philippians 2 once again, not considering yourself as more important, but considering others as more important than yourself. And so she considers his happiness and well-being, and she seeks to work towards that end. She appreciates her husband. She loves him. She cares for him, and she desires for his best, his happiness and his well-being. And she is committed to this, as I've said before, all the days of her life. And even with a sinful husband, that can be difficult. But the Lord is able to give grace to do that. And so, number two, she is her husband's biggest supporter. Number three, and we'll probably try to move a little more quickly here, and we can, I think, move a little more quickly. But number three, her conscientious care of her household. And we find several verses in this passage of Scripture where she is conscientious in the care of her household. First, in verses 14 and 15, it says that she is like merchant ships. She brings food from afar. She rises also while it's still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. We find in this chapter a very well-rounded picture of the household and the care that the wife, the wife gives to the household. And in this first verse, she's like merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. So back in the old days, if you're going to get some food from Greece, then it would come on a boat, and you'd have to go up and you'd have to get the food from that place. Well, we have a lot easier now where we can just go to ShopRite and we can find all the various different kinds of food. But the picture is a woman who is taking care to find the proper foods and to prepare those foods for her household. And she'll go to where she has to go so that she can find all those proper foods. And we see that in verse 15, it even talks about not rising while it's still night and giving food to her household. So she is not only going out and getting the food, which was a much greater ordeal back in those days than it is now, but she goes down, she does the shopping, she brings it home, and she prepares it for all those who are in her household. And obviously, she had a large household because she had portions that she gave to her maidens as well. But she was able to do that. And so she cared for the physical needs of her household in verses 14 and 15. And now look with me down in verse 21 and 22. It says in verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. And so what do we see here? She is not concerned about her household because she knows that she has clothed her household well. If her children are going out, she knows they're going to be properly dressed to go out. Whatever the temperature is, whatever the occasion is, her children are going to be properly clothed in that situation. And so she doesn't have a lot of concern about that because she has taken care of that aspect of her household. In verse 19, it says she stretches out of her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. This is speaking about the fact that she's even preparing the cloth that she's using to make the clothing that is in her home. And so this woman cares for the clothing that's on the back of those who are in her household. And then in the third place, we have a much more general verse, which kind of encompasses many aspects of the home care. It says in verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household. She looks well to the ways of her household. Her household is her primary responsibility. It is her greatest concern, and she looks well to the ways of her household. I was thinking, and I just sat down and I made a list of things that moms have to do and wives have to do. I came up with 20 things just quickly, and there's probably a lot more things that could be said. There's laundry, preparing meals, teaching the scriptures to the children, driving children to where they have to be, controls everybody in the household schedule, cleans the house. Sometimes women have to work outside of the home to help support the family, shop for clothes and food, make clothes, helps with homework, and in some cases is actually the teacher of their children. Trains their children, care for the sick in their family. She needs to have her own devotions and take care of her own relationship with the Lord. Many times these moms are volunteering outside of the home in school or whatever, responsibilities at church, paying bills, praying for her family, thinking about others first, exercising, caring for special needs in her home. And that's just 20 things. And you could probably add to those things. And what it says about this woman is that she looks well to all of these things and many other things. The responsibility that a mother and a wife has is overwhelming and exhausting when you think about it. It is a tremendous responsibility that God's given, and that's why this woman is considered to be such an excellent woman. But there's one last thing that I just want to point out, and it's there in verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. Her care reaches outside of her own home to those who are in need. When she sees a need, she desires to fulfill that need. And she'll take the means that the Lord has given her and her husband to seek to meet the needs of those who are needy. And so those four things about her conscientious care of her home, she shops and prepares food. She takes care of the clothing. She cares for all of the concerns of her household. And finally, she reaches out to those who are in need. Briefly, she is, we want to look at, fourthly, her shrewd business sense. And this is something which is very prominent in this passage, is that this woman has a shrewd business sense. This woman is extraordinary. To be able to handle all those things that I just mentioned, and then to do what else that she's been given, which we're going to talk about now. In verse 16, she considers a field and she buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. So she's buying and selling property, this woman. She's planting and she's harvesting crops, this woman. And she's maybe even making wine because she has a vineyard. Now, obviously, with this woman doing all these things, she's not doing them herself. She can't be doing them herself. But she has at the very least, administrative oversight over these types of things that are going on in her life. In verse 24, it says that she makes linen garments and she sells them. And she supplies belts to the tradesmen. So she works in cloth and she also works in leather. And she sells clothes and she creates leather products and she sells them as well. Now, we always have to remember that this is a woman who is under authority. She is a woman who is in the household with her wife as the head. And so all of the wife's business ventures are always under the oversight of her husband. Always under the oversight of her husband. The one thing that you can't take away from this woman is that she is very industrious. Very industrious. And she is providing a lot by way of the support of her household, at least in an oversight type of a manner. And I just want to make one application at this point. And that is when we consider and talk about the preparation of our daughters for the future. There's not many Christian women that don't want to be married. Maybe there are some, but I would say most young Christian women want to be married. They want to have children. They want to have a husband. And moms and dads, we have to guide our daughters when they're preparing themselves to what should I do with my life? How should I move ahead? Why should I go to college? What should I study in college? You know, there's young women that go to college and they study things which in no shape or form could have any help in what they're going to be doing in a Christian home in the future. Rather than encouraging their daughters to be a nurse or perhaps learn about a school, about teaching, all things, and there's many things I think that you could go into, but there are certainly fields that you're going to want to steer your children away from. And because you're going to want to seek to prepare your daughters to be fruitful in a household in the future. And be able to have them be beneficial to their husbands. When you give them to a husband, you know you're giving a very capable young woman who has the ability to be a help to her husband in that household. And I think that's a very important thing that we have to keep in mind. And that's my application with regard to having a shrewd business sense. And we have to quickly move along because we are out of time already. And the last thing that we want to see in this passage is that she is worthy to be praised, this woman. This woman that we've been describing, you can see just by what we've read that this woman is worthy to be praised. I want to read the last four verses of the chapter. It says in verse 28, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. The woman of this caliber that we've been speaking about this morning is the woman that she is because of what it says in verse 30. But the woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. Everything that this woman does is undertaken because she's doing it before and as unto the Lord. Yes, she's doing it for her children. Yes, she's doing it for her husband, but she is doing it as a sacrifice before and as unto the Lord. And that's why she is this woman who is worthy to be praised. And I want to talk to the kids, and I want to talk to the parents, or to the husbands. First of all, kids, do you value your mom? I hope you do. Do you value your mom? Do you value the fact that God has given you an excellent mom? And are you grateful to her? You can say when you're praying, thank you, Lord, for giving me mom and dad. You can say at the annual Thanksgiving service, I'm thankful for my mom and dad. But do you thank them seriously? Do you look your mom in the face and say, thank you for taking care of me, for doing my wash, for preparing my food, for taking care of my schedule, for getting me where I need to be? Just all those 20 things plus many more that your mom does for you. Are you grateful? Or are you rather the child that is giving your mom a hard time every time she asks you to do something? Don't be that child, because before the Lord, she is seeking to do what she is doing, and you ought to bless God for the blessing that she is. And the other thing I would say, are you seeking to make her job easier? Or are you making her job more difficult? Are you saying, how can I help you get some of the things that need to be done around the house done? Rather than complaining and moaning every time you're asked to do this or to do that to help around the house. The Lord has given this church in many ways some really great moms that have loved and have cared for their kids over the years. And it's something which I am very grateful to the Lord for. We see blessed examples over and over again in this place. But then secondly, husbands, very quickly, do you value the wife that God has given you? Do you appreciate what they do and thank them? Thank them. Let them know that you appreciate the things that they do. Or do you just go on and take for granted the blessings that you receive through them and never return thanks to them for the good that they give to you? The text says right there, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also. And he praises her, saying, yes, he blesses the Lord, but he also praises her and says what he says about this excellent wife that the Lord has given to him. As much as a woman is faithful to her task, her children and her husband ought to rise up and praise her, not just in prayer, not just to other people, but to her face. Bless her and praise her for the good that she is to you. And we'll leave it at that. Let's pray.
Our Father, we bless your name for your goodness in giving so many of us excellent moms. We thank you, Lord, for the work of their hands in our lives, in preparing us, in raising us, in teaching us, providing for us in so many ways. And indeed, Lord, as we have looked at the picture of the godly woman this day, we could see it's an exhausting picture. And Lord, we would pray that you would forgive. I need to pray that you would forgive my sin for not appreciating the good wife that you and mom that you have given to me. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be more appreciative of the great blessings we enjoy from this godly wife. And Lord, we thank you for the work that you've done in this church of raising up many godly women over the years to raise godly children. And Lord, we bless you and we thank you for them. And we pray that you would cause them to remain faithful. And we pray that you would help us to bless and praise your name, but also, Lord, to praise them to their face for the work that they have done on our behalf. Lord, we're grateful to you for all the good gifts that we receive at your hand, and especially that of a godly mom and wife. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.